So thank you for your patience.
You got other things.
So Patricia's gonna put a draft motion on the screen.
Can I say something quick first?
Yes.
So.
Board Member Smith.
I sat here and listened to the public comments. And three things popped up at me. Jamie Glasgow said that they surveyed 27 streams, 30% of them came back eDNA with fish. This isn't liability supposed to be shared 50-50, so if we went out and surveyed 27 streams that were protected with trees, would we find 30% that didn't have fish in them? 50-50 split. That's one of my things. Second off is, I remember Hans putting up a picture of when we first started doing this about when you find a PHB, you're still gonna go above it and check. So what if we say a tributary is a PHB? You're still gonna check above it, and if there's fish, you're still gonna go up. If it's not, you still have the protection from the mainstream on the first part. And thirdly, each of these people, both sides of the tribes and the landowners, put forward their best proposal of what they thought was where they wanted to be. Nobody was going to put forth a proposal that they didn't think was going to pass, because that would have been a waste of everybody's time. So we didn't vote to approve any of those. We didn't endorse any of them. We just voted to check them all out. So I don't know why we're spending so much time doing the little stuff instead of just, let's just get the ball rolling. So those are my three things.
Thank you. All right. Patricia.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Can you blow that up as large as you can, please? So that it's all on one page, hopefully. There we go. All right. This is a draft motion. That after listening to everybody, I wrote down several things. One is, people want to move forward. So I can't say there's consensus around this, but there's a general need to move forward and do the analysis on all the proponents' proposals. Two, people want to make sure the analysis is going to be transparent. And so they want to make sure stakeholders are understanding how DNR is going to do that analysis. And it's also an opportunity for us to hear others' ideas. Three, there's some questions around the science, and particularly around tributaries. And one of the suggestions up here is to ask the science panel, including all the authors, to meet once or twice to make sure the January 18 report is updated and reflects all perspectives regarding tributaries. And then finally, staff will report back in November and February on progress, and particularly in February about recommendations regarding a board field trip on the alternatives. So those are the four pieces I'm suggesting, and If somebody would like to move it, fine. If somebody, so that we can put it into play, and then we can, if we need to, we can amend or tweak it.
Mr. Chair, when you said you had another motion, and I knew it was going to be a four-part motion, but after reading it, I'm still not sure that we need an additional motion, but I don't see anything in here that wouldn't be helpful towards moving the process forward, so.
Thank you.
Is that a motion?
Is that a motion?
I'll make a motion. I thought others might want to chime in, tell me I'm all screwed up, so.
Well, if you move it and somebody seconds it, then we can have all the discussion.
So move it. Do I have to read the whole thing?
Yes, please.
Okay. I move the Forest Practice Board direct staff to work with each of the proponents to clarify each alternative, including PHBs, as they relate to above and within the Adams floor. The board further directs staff to work with stakeholders to ensure the analysis process is transparent to all caucuses. The board further directs the AMPA to convene the authors of the January 2018 report from the science panel to update the report to reflect all perspectives and supporting science regarding tributaries, and further requests the staff to provide updates at the November 2018 and February 2019 board meetings, including recommendations regarding a board field trip on the alternatives.
We have a second.
Second.
Thank you, Board Member Willett. Discussion. If nobody's going to jump forward, I'll just go around the table and ask each of you to provide your perspective. Noel?
I think it's a reasonable motion. You know, I think all parties should have their alternatives looked at, and I think this is the right step forward.
I agree with the motion of pulling together the science team once again, if that helps us, you know, continue process. I just didn't want to see this languish until our November board meeting. So in there, I'm assuming it means that if the caucuses and science team work with staff, the process will keep moving.
Yes, thank you for that clarification. I missed that. Me and the authors from the science team did the report. And I guess what I, my direction to staff, unless you want to put it in the motion, would be to have the science panel provide staff that updated report and copy the board. And then if we have questions in November, we can take them at that time. But yes, we do not want to delay staff from getting the analysis done.
Mr. Chair, I have a question on that
yes.
point. Where it says convene the authors of the January 2018, one of the members of the science panel was not allowed to write a minority opinion, but was a participant. Would he be included with the authors?
That's why it's worded exactly that way.
That was my assumption. I just wanted to be clear.
Thank you for clarifying. That's exactly why we wrote it that way. Anything else, Lisa?
No.
Dave.
I think the motion addresses the questions as far as I can see. As I said in the earlier comment, I didn't want to see the process that we've agreed to follow be delayed. So as long as we're staying on track, I think this approach should resolve the issue.
And so some of the language I want to reflect on is you know, alternatives, like all of the proponents' alternatives, and I just want to reflect on a bit of history that the you know, what the Conservation Caucus's policy representative during the discussions on FHAM, the decision that was made was to try to come up with a consensus proposal at the beginning so there would be one coming to the board and not all. And so we decided to work with the tribes, attempted to come to consensus with industry, and that didn't quite happen. But we thought the West Side Tribal proposal was the one that could sort of garner the most support. And I think had we seen what was going to happen here, Conservation Caucus might have proposed its own more protective alternative. And so I just want to put a marker in the ground that I think we don't have a full range of alternatives that might represent everybody's perspective on what we think needs to be out there. Because some of the caucuses were playing in a collaborative space to try to come up with something that we all thought would be agreed on. And now one of the proponents' alternatives is, at least from my perspective, outside what was recommended by the science team. And so I'm not feeling particularly happy about this. I'm not feeling like we're moving ahead with a set of alternatives. And I understand we're not making a decision about rulemaking. But in retrospect, I think there might have been another proposal on the table to throw into the mix if we had known things were going to go this direction. So for that and for the reason that I think that just in particular, the way that now our changed understanding, and not what I voted on last February, our changed understanding of the landowner's proposal includes particular treatment of those lateral junctions with FF, and that's outside not just the majority, but all of the science panel members but one. I feel like we're asking for an analysis of something that's not going to protect fish habitat, and I think that that's kind of a waste of time and resources. And so for that reason, I'm not going to support this proposal. And I understand I'm probably going to be in the minority. And given that, I want to make sure that, so I'm wanting to make sure that third bullet includes the ability of the science team to maybe go into more depth about why it made the recommendation that it did. Laterals in addition to the one opinion that wasn't included in that report. So yes, that opinion gets aired, and that's important, that scientific debate, that's good. But also that addendum includes a very full exposition of why the other seven members made the recommendation that they did.
That's the presumption or expectation or so.
I have some of the same concerns that have been expressed here, but I feel we need to get on with the analysis. I think this motion or this direction will do it for us at this time.
I echo some of the concerns that were raised here, but I think that we need to move forward, and being able to analyze what will allow us to do that. So.
I'm not going to comment on the elements.
Dang, I thought I had a few more minutes. A lot of swirling through my mind. I feel like we made a couple things. We made a decision to have all the proposals analyzed. I also, I'd like for us, and I've heard Tom say this on the timeliness of materials coming to the board, and maybe just like reinforce with one another, but these are important decisions that we're making, right? And so we need to have comfort that we have clear enough understanding of what we are voting on, so that's not a criticism. It's not intended to be a criticism of anyone, more just like a, hey, like, let's help each other out. If we're not feeling comfortable, that we can make sure that we have the clarity we need to make these important decisions. I'm with others on the, I think we should, I'll be voting that all the proposals get analyzed. That scientific analysis piece, kind of the I think about the rules are supposed to achieve the objective of the rulemaking. And so in my mind, and this is overly simplistic, it's we gotta protect fish. And then there's the economic side of this. I appreciated the approach and the process that DNR staff have done on the economic side of this, and want to encourage in some of those bullets that we had, the fish habitat technical group that has expertise that can hopefully be tapped into to help us in a lot of these areas, like the anadromous floor, as one example. So.
So I appreciate that Mr. Nelson got it clarified that all members of the science panel will be have an opportunity to participate in this. And I think that the motions is fine. One thing that I really hope that we can see on the field trip is if we go out on a stream, that we can stand in at one stream and take a look at all three alternatives and see what the differences are. So for that, I think that's going to be a real good opportunity for us. And I'm glad I don't have more time to talk about it.
I share some of the concerns that have already been raised, but particularly want to just point out that a couple of things about process that were raised. And I think that it's important to note that the proposal that we are now putting forward as one of the three is a different proposal than what we discussed and went back and forth on in February. And that's fine. I mean, I understand that it is what was submitted that day of in a 12 or so page description, but we didn't have time to get into those details or understand those fully. So what we passed was something different. So I just want, I think it's important to note that this is a different proposal. And just on purely on process, it feels to me like this is some mimicking some of the problems that have come out in other areas of the program in policy where there are changes of mind, changes of want to go back and redo something. And sometimes, you know, leadership, we need to make some difficult decisions and move forward. And this is feeling like another costly delay, more time, more resources. And as Paula pointed out, it's not even clear that this is going to meet the intent of the program or the rulemaking. So for those reasons, I'm not going to support this.
Somebody somewhere in February must have had a lot of faith that this would be done by November, because that was the original plan. So we can bring a little bit of faith back into this, because somebody must have thought that it was going to go a little bit smoother and not seen so many road bumps, or thought that there was going to be more collaboration or something. But I hate to see that we have to, every meeting, have a motion to get people to report at the next meeting. It's like cattle prodding them along, you know. I just hope that people can take the initiative to let's roll and let's do this, but I'll support this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I support the motion. I think that there's a few points for some additional clarity in here without delaying the process. I think this allows us to move forward. But I also echo the desire to if given the opportunity, to see some of this stuff play out on the ground. My world in agriculture focuses so much on livestock manure and things like that. I think it would be broaden my horizon a little bit. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I've already made comments, so I won't issue any more. I would like to say one thing about Jeff's, though, that the original motion still stands, and the original motion specifically talked about having the on-the-ground science folks, the habitat group, involved in it. So that it's not explicit in here, but it is in the original motion. So I think you need to get going.
Thank you.
I want to check in with staff. Mark, have you got the clarity you need?
Yes.
And Hans and Phil, is this a doable task for you guys? You want to come up? Before we vote.
When you say the doable task, I just want to clarify that the part that you're asking the science panel to do is to pull together the literature and the science on tributaries and their use by fish.
Correct.
And the question, so to be, just to put a finer point on that, and when do you want that done?
Sooner than later, if we can. But I guess, you know, that'll, I'm sure, you know, we'll have to work with you, but our preference is that if the science panel can get together, all the authors, I'm hoping this only is like one meeting or most two, and then you can submit the addendum or whatever we're going to call this to staff and the work, and you're done. And then if there's questions, we'll talk, take them at November. But the idea is for to get when Mark needs the science piece of this to do the analysis, that it's ready to go.
So the question that I had was around the use of the word update. Would this be a full report update, or would this just be a memo on this particular topic?
I think it could be, I'm not asking you to redo the report. I think an update in a memo form would be finer, and if you want to call it an addendum to the report with this particular focus.
Yeah, I think if you're asking for a memo, a short summary of the science on that, I don't think that's a problem. I think that we've got a lot of the literature that's on that topic already, so it's more responding a little more specifically to this question, and I'm envisioning a few pages with a bunch of references that's in a memo that kind of outlines what's the science on fish use of these tributaries. I was only asking the timing because we have some other things going on, so it was really just trying to understand the timing on this and how, you know, what's the what how big an ask, you know, what you were looking for. I think that's possible. It's not something we're going to get done in August, but you know,
okay,
something in the next couple months, it shouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
And that's not because it's such a huge ask, it's just more the workload, in particular for me, just with the pilot project and some other things.
I appreciate that. And if there is not, you know, agreement by all the authors, then we want all the perspectives identified in that addendum.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Board Member Laurie.
Thank you. I just wanted to check with the author of the motion. We just had some dialogue here as to what it means. I want to make sure it still comports with your intent in making the motion.
I'm not the author, but I did make the motion.
You are.
I didn't, you know, those were all clarifying items.
So you agree with that?
And it says what it says, that they're going to get back together, they're going to do an update that reflects all perspectives, which includes the minority opinions, and that they'll have it back to us in a couple months. ASAP.
Right. That's really a contractual issue between my staff and the science panel. Okay, are we ready to vote then?
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Yes, ma'am.
The first paragraph there, to clarify each alternative, including PHBs, does that include a clarification as to whether or not the that this would be size only, if we're looking at size only PHBs at the mouth of the tributary?
Mark, do you have a I mean, the idea is we didn't want to get, do you want to address that, Mark?
The first part is a total understanding of all the PHBs as presented, which would include size and all the other elements. Is the question about the expert panel report, or is it
about talking about the first paragraph.
Okay. Yeah, it's a full understanding of the complete proposal, including size and the other elements.
Okay, so including that size only, like just the one that was looking just at size only at the, okay.
Yes, that's inclusive.
Okay.
Any other clarifying questions for the board members? Okay. I'm hopeful, I guess. Everybody in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Any abstentions? Motion passes. Okay, next agenda item. Board Member Herrera and Davis, board members, give us an update on the 2019 issue stream survey protocol.
Sure, we'd be happy to do that. This is, of course, what we committed at our last meeting, to work together to see if there were specific protocols for the 19 season, because any new method, survey screen typing, that'll be done by the time it gets done and the process is finalized, 19 will be behind us. And we had committed to work together as co-managers, and but then we would convene meetings, a series of meetings if necessary, interested tribes of stakeholders along the way, and then we would bring some recommendations to the board. And we have got the process started. We've had our staff folks that work on this topic working together to pull information, look at where we're at, what we're doing, and so they're pulling those together. We haven't, just and I haven't met on this, but we will be meeting, I think, shortly first, and go over, look at what our staffs have developed. Also, we need to make sure that whatever we develop is able to be implemented through an administrative process by DNR, because it won't be able to go through the rulemaking process. So,
or board manual process.
Well,
either.
Yeah, so as has been used before. So,
yes.
So we would get together, develop something. I think we would meet, Stephen, with you and your staff to make sure it meets that. Being able to be implemented administratively, and then I think once we determine that, then we can schedule a series of meetings with stakeholders and staff. tribes and interested parties to craft recommendations for come forward in November.
Would you like to add anything?
Brilliantly stated.
Okay, thank you. We'll look forward to your report back in November. Lisa, would you like to report out as the committee chair of the Adaptive Management Board Committee on Efficiency and Effectiveness, please?
Yes, I would be happy to. The subcommittee most recently met on July 27th here at the DNR, and Connie Lewis was present. She had sent her summary of the 60 interviews out to everybody who was interviewed. So I think that was, those interviews were broadly read. She then had opened up for a comment period. Any of the interviewees could add comments about whether they had been correctly included. It was looking for inclusivity to make sure that comments were in her report, in her summary to us, and she also provided a second document, which was a recommendation template of how to move forward. There was a comment early in our session today about how some of the comments were very specifically targeting certain staff people, and I have to tell you that Hans and I and Connie had every other Friday standing committee meetings, and we talked about some of those things that came up because some of them were pretty targeted. Yet Connie's explanation for that, Connie would have been here except she's on a 2-week out of contact thing, I think up in the Yukon somewhere, so that's why I'm doing the report in her stead. But Connie made the comment that the 60 interviews were surprisingly, people were very frank about in their interviews, and there were things that came across many caucuses, across the different perspectives, and so she included those. And I think our committee reacted to in a similar way as was presented at public comment today, that some of those quotes were very raw, I think was one of the descriptive words. And I likened it, I guess, so we reviewed that, and although there was some concern that it would be maybe not productive to include that, the more we talked about distilling down the report of the interviewer, the summary of the interviews, to something where nothing would be recognized as being the truth, was probably one of the very fundamental problems that has been identified with this group, is that we no longer trust that the truth is really known. And so I said it was, the analogy I used at our committee meeting was, it's kind of like having a little league game where you don't keep score, but everybody in the room knows the score. It's just not said out loud, and it just doesn't work. So that the interviews were reflective of what a broad base of people said, and they said with quite honesty. The thing that Connie really brought forward was that the underlying tone of the interviews was that people had a lot of faith in this process. They want this process to work. They want Hans to be successful, that position to be successful, and they really are looking for how to fix what's there. This isn't a throw it out, replace it with something else. Let's tweak it, let's fix it, and but how do we get there? And so to that end, Connie's second document were recommendations that were also freely shared from all the interviewees about how do we get there. And so the committee discussed the schedule of suggestions that were made. And from a very high level point of view, really I think the group honed on the best path forward was to is to come up with a way to get the sense of commitment or shared purpose reinvigorated within the group, to very much demonstrate stronger and clearer leadership, some of that organizational structure that we had talked about, clarifying roles and responsibility, and then asking for recommitment. And I think that recommitment, at first the comment was we need recommitment from the principals, but I think the broader thing was we need recommitment from the principals, and Board Member Davis termed the phrase principals plus. If we could convene principals plus, you know, the outer ring of all of us who are working together, we would be perhaps much more successful. So to that end, the suggestion that the committee is recommending is that we convene a series of three meetings spread over the course of a year, and to start that or to kick that off would be to have a refresher course, the TFW 101, and what that meant and what progress has been made, and you know, what is the Habitat Conservation Plan and the underlying documents and agreements that were that formed this whole process, to really be able to share those again and give history there. We talked about then having a meet, so potentially as soon as October of this year, is pulling that group together, having something in early January before the leg session starts, and then something in June to kind of wrap up this process with a recommitment, the goal of having a ability for recommitment, whatever that looks like. I mean, there's still some definitions that have to be there. I have many members of my committee here, so I guess I would offer up to any of you to add to, or Jeff, you're very eloquent about how this should play out. I guess I would specifically ask you to. Okay, Carl.
I've been having it just with my eyes open. I think all of that was well stated. I sense that there's still, and we just got off the topic, that my sense is there's root cause issues that are in there that have to come out at the Principals Plus meeting too, that can't be solved by a science panel or Fish Habitat Work Group or CEMER or the AMPA. I mean, these are some root cause things that we're talking past each other, or we have differences of opinions, and they manifest themselves in conflict in the process. So I'm really excited to I don't know if I'm going to be a principal or a plus, but I hope I get to be part of that series of meetings where we have real conversation. So,
other questions from the board? I know I left it pretty high level.
I don't have any questions. I think you did a good job of capturing the process. And there were, a lot of things said in the interviews. And I think maybe as Jeff was saying too, I think we still see those issues affecting what we're trying to do today. And so we're not just talking about PHBs or anadromous zones. We're talking, there's embedded risk. How do you share risk? Oh, we're giving too much, we shouldn't have to do anymore. You're not doing enough, all these things seem to be embedded and making it really difficult for us to arrive at rules doing our job. I have seen that playing out today, so And I hope we can get to the point where we can put those things behind us and move forward again, but it's been a real eye opener.
Mr. Chair.
I just wanted to speak really quickly as a subcommittee member. So thank you for that summary. I think it was accurate. I wanted to, I think Ray's comments this morning, early in the day, about the need for us to address these issues. I take those to heart, and I'm committed through this process to, do my best to participate in help solving them. And I think it's going to take a great deal of honesty, and I think it's going to take a lot of effort and creativity to really get at some of these core issues. And I agree with the comments around the table that, there are root causes, including, I think, disagreements about the fundamental obligations. And essentially, I think it boils down to whose obligation is it and who pays the cost for, ensuring that, our aquatic resources, and this is the adaptive management program, I could talk about non-aquatic resources too, but to ensuring that as we have a viable timber industry and there are issues associated with that, whose obligation is it to ensure that our fish and wildlife are perpetuated? And that is going to be a necessary, important, and I actually hope a exciting discussion where maybe we lift the lid on some of the things that have been bothering us or driving the conflict. Anyway, I just wanted to say that this is not going to be easy. And it will take a degree of commitment and honesty to get there.
Thank you. I want to thank the committee for the work that you've done. I think that it's commendable that you've got us to the point where we can sit down and visit for those three sessions. One of the things that I think is so important for this one of these sessions is to be able to look at the history of the Department of Natural Resources. To be able to look at the accomplishments that we've all made together in a collaborative manner, and to move forward and make this state and our resources better than they were when we came here. And at my age, I can see the accomplishments of that's been made in the timber industry especially. So I think it would be a good opportunity to also discuss the accomplishments of all of us. And I'm talking about all caucuses. In preservation and of our resources, and the fact that we want to have resources for our kids and grandkids. So I think it'd be a good opportunity to discuss our accomplishments also. I think that will build a success story when we all can be very, very proud of what we've done.
Can I say one more thing, first?
Yes, please.
I just want to remind, not that any of you need reminding, but that, over a year ago, this process was really kicked off with that self-analysis that that our adaptive management program administrator did and made a number of recommendations, some that were identified as low-hanging fruit that have moved some process forward already. And I remember sharing that, Hans's analysis with Connie Lewis when she first came on and saying, some of this is very self-reflective and also brutally honest about what has gone on. So I guess for all of this, Hans, although you become kind of sometimes the middle of the target, I do want to thank you for caring enough about the program to really putting yourself professionally and personally on the line and allowing us to to talk around you and about you but caring enough to stay. And I really do hope, I guess I want to see that you're successful and you started this and we're going to help finish it in a really good and meaningful way. That's the goal. So.
Ditto.
Okay.
That's not everything I have to say, Chair.
The other thing that I hope comes out of this series of conversations or dialogue actually is some conversation about how we keep the care and feeding of whatever comes out of there. And I say that because we're just talking about a complex system with people in it. And you know, we had the people that negotiated the forest and fish agreement and the HCP, and some of those people are still around, and they're becoming fewer and fewer. And there's people coming into the system that it's easy to have a different interpretation or a lack of understanding without the historical perspective. And then it's very easy to fall into your trenches and see, you know, you're staring through a toilet paper tube instead of seeing the bigger picture in all of this. And so I'd love to see not like we have a great series of meetings and we come out with some good understanding and good kind of next steps, and then we wait another 20 years and then the people that come in behind us are back to it. Geez, what did they do before? Let's have a, you know, series of three meetings and talk about it. Like I just want to make sure that we can talk about how to keep this system healthy over a long period of time.
Brad, did you have anything to add? I want to make sure you had an opportunity since you're on the committee.
I guess I'd just add, you know, I'm also looking forward to the October gathering and what comes out of it, and I would echo what Jeff just said about how important that is to steward whatever comes out, and I think it's also important for us to have shared understanding of all of what we're working towards and all of the, and maybe that sometimes means going over things as new people come on and just refreshers about specific things and where we're really headed, and make sure before we proceed that we're all headed in the same direction, we all have the same understanding.
I just want to add, I think two things that's said that really encouraged me. I mean, it was really nice to go to that committee meeting, and we were all pretty much on the same page coming out of that meeting. And I really appreciated that with my co-committee members. Second, one of the reflections I had this last year was going to the SAF National Convention in Albuquerque, and one of the things they were all excited about, the new Good Neighbor Authority and collaboratives with the Forest Service, and most of them were pretty new and they're excited, and I was going, yeah, but you know, we've got a 30-year-old one here and we're trying to figure out how to keep it perpetuating even. And so I think there's this whole notion of how do we perpetuate this, all the good stuff, and continue to improve. I think that's a learning that a lot of collaboratives never get to, you know, they come together for a short while and then dissipate. We're here for, well, our HCP is a 50-year deal, and I'm sure the timber industry is planning on being around past that. So and certainly we want to make sure the fish, water, and wildlife are here to enjoy, you know, beyond the HCP. So I'm really happy that all of you and recognizing those accomplishments, Bob. So thank you for that.
So Mr. Chairman, I'm not on the committee, but can I make one comment?
Yeah.
I agree with the recommendations that came out. I think it's a great idea that we try to reinvigorate the spirit of TFW, starting with a historical perspective. I think that's a very sound recommendation. I also wanted to echo that, you know, Kurt and Tara were up here this morning, and they invited board members to go to a policy. I've been to policy committee meetings, never got invited back, but I went to them. And I would strongly urge any of the board members that haven't gone, because I think it'll give you a different perspective on where some of the comments came from that report. So if you haven't done it, make sure you tell Patricia so we don't get in trouble. But I would strongly encourage board members who haven't gone to the policy to attend one and just see what some of the stuff's all about, see where some of the problems lie. That's my comment.
Okay. Board Member Laurie.
Thank you. I'm encouraged to see this moving forward. I would have, at the time the committee got together, it didn't work out for me in terms of joining. And then we had enough people that we couldn't really have anymore without having a quorum. So I haven't been privy to the discussions directly. And I'm very interested in what you're thinking. I'm looking at you, Lisa, but it's, I mean, the group is thinking. And so I'm hoping that we can see some kind of plan or, you know, agendas and, you know, things that we might comment on, might have some ideas that might be helpful, whether it be three meetings or two meetings or whatever. So whenever you have something to share along that line, I'm looking forward to it.
So the August, there's a committee meeting on August 23rd, and Connie has some pretty in-depth experience in convening groups around environmental issues.
So she's going to come up with some ideas.
Yes, and so she's going to help us draft that. We will meet as committee August 23rd to discuss those, and then certainly can be forwarded out to the board
for
content, and including, you know, how to incorporate in that root cause analysis within a group. We want it to be really meaningful gathering, you know. And we've even talked about making, you know, some of these meetings multi-day events, you know, with that potential of getting out and being able to socialize and just reestablishing some relationships. And so that will come in and be built into the process. So I've said it before, but I wish Connie could have been here today, but I have a high level of confidence in. She was pretty excited after a July 27th committee meeting about where we were going. She wasn't too sure coming into the meeting, but I think leaving the meeting, she was excited as we are that there's a path forward that makes sense.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Seth.
All right, we're at part of the agenda for staff reports, and I will just ask if there are any questions around the staff reports that have been identified, and if not, then the next agenda item goes to the October field planning topic, which I've been putting off all day. So Mark, do you want to come and, I know you, staff has thought about this, and
good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the board, again, Mark Engel. If I may, we did miss one agenda topic, and that is, in your packets, you did get your annual report for the Taylor's Checker Spot Butterfly. That's in addition to the staff reports. Historically, that's been a oral report to the board. This time, it was submitted as part of the packet. I don't know if anybody has any comments.
Okay. You're good. There are no questions from the board members.
If I may point out one of the recommendations in the report, this is jointly prepared by DNR and Wildlife, is that this report go instead of an annual report to an every 2 year report.
Do you want action on that?
Double
thumbs up.
Remember Nelson.
Actually, I did have a question on Mark. The map for the critical habitat shows federal critical habitat right at Deception Pass. That's Deception Pass State Park. Why is there federal critical habitat on the state park property?
I do not know.
Well, remember, federal critical habitat is designated by whichever agency is as part of their recovery planning process under ESA. So if they've identified federal critical habitat, there must be a group of them up there or something.
It just seems odd that it's got federal designation on state property and yet there's state DFW habitat. I would think the state would claim. It's not important. I just thought it was odd. Maybe it's a typo. Maybe it's supposed to be pink instead of purple. I don't know.
U.S. Fish, when they list under ESA, make a federal designation of where critical habitat is. That goes across the landscape. In this particular case, these critters are also state listed, and so you will see like DFW thinks this. Usually, there's agreement or direct overlay with U.S. Fish because we share basically the same data, but sometimes we will identify some state habitat that the feds don't.
Chairman Burnett.
Oh.
I guess just another quick clarification on critical habitat designations. That, like Jeff said, sometimes those designations are not just on federal land. And technically what it would mean if there's any federal nexus of a decision on those lands, then they would have to go through Section 7 consultation. But it's only if, for instance, Corps of Engineers was asked to approve a permit to do something that would alter the habitat on someone else's land, right? So
maybe it's bridges that Deception Pass, and maybe that's the nexus. Yeah. I just thought it was odd that it was a federal listed area, but we have state area at the end of state. It might be Highway 20 along the bridge. That's a state highway.
Yeah. It could be the airfield.
That's not done.
No, not there.
Okay. Any other questions for staff on the tailings product?
Just a clarification. Did you say that we're moving to a 2-year reporting?
That's their recommendation.
Because
it appears to be working.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that Gary Bell, the habitat specialist for Department of Fish and Wildlife, is not able to be here today. And I don't know if anybody's here that can speak on. Chris? Okay.
Hello, Chris Hoffman. I'm the Forest Habitat Section Manager in the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and I supervise Gary Bell. So we talked a little bit about this, and his explanation to me was that they haven't really been detecting any significant changes one way or another through this process of monitoring the implementation of the protection measures for voluntary management plans for the butterfly. I think the original intent or some of the language about this process from the board was actually to go to a 5-year review process, and they haven't done that, and they're wanting to take some baby steps to get there just to make sure that we're not. The group, Gary's group and others, felt like they should take that approach and segment it. Let's go from what we're doing now to 2 years, and then if that works, looks like it's still following the same trend and nothing jumps out, then maybe they would go to 5 later. But it's a recommendation from Gary and the other staff members that were involved to not go to 5, to go to 2, and then maybe later go to 5.
Okay, Chris. Board Member Hayes.
Thank you. I just wanted to know, I mean, will we still get some kind of update on how they're doing? It says in this report that they're not doing well. And so I don't want to, I'm just wondering if we're just not having the report because we're doing what we can and that's about all we can do. I'm not clear.
Well, I think that there's a comfort level in not doing this on a yearly basis because it's the same story every year. But there's also, like you're saying, they don't want to stop monitoring the trends and potential impacts to the species, so they don't necessarily want to go to the five. So maybe a better way to rephrase or present this, and I don't know if Gary put it in there, but I asked him to put some language in this report to better describe why they're suggesting two instead of five. So it might be there, and I just don't have that in front of me. But I really think that's the fundamental thing to consider here, is that really the recommendation is, let's not go to five right now. We want to be a little more conservative, only go to two. That would be a better way to frame this.
So it does say that in there, and he does say that any protection issues would still be immediately reported. So
yeah.
Okay. Any other questions for Chris? Or members of Dean?
I guess maybe just one way to put a finer point on it is that this is we have a voluntary approach as a board to this species, and so the population trends may not be any different, but is there an evaluation of the actions being taken under these voluntary agreements and an assessment that, I was just trying to rephrase what Board Member Davis was saying, is there an assessment of the effectiveness of those actions, and does the board need to think about asking for reformulation of the voluntary actions, or, given the population's not doing well, are we getting towards the point of feeling like an obligation to consider rules? And this is just hypothetical. I don't necessarily think that's the case, but I think that's the kind of information that would be helpful to us, even if we're going to go to 2 years. Is here's a list of the actions under the under this voluntary plan. Here's how effective we think those actions are, and we either can or can't do anything else within the purview of a voluntary approach. And yes or no, the board doesn't need to worry about doing anything else. So just just a sense that we only need to hear from you every 2 years instead of every year. That doesn't necessarily give a sense of how effective the overall approach is and all the components of that might need to be.
Is that a specific question or just a statement about?
Well, I think it's a statement, I think, about what would be useful to us.
Yeah.
So if you, off the top of your head, have a sense of whether or not you think in a future report we would need to be thinking about doing something different, or a sense right now of whether or not the voluntary actions are adequate and there are other things that are not allowing the population to improve, then if you have any comments about that right now, that would be helpful.
In a general sense, from talking to Gary, and I apologize, he's on vacation, so good for him, right? But I honestly don't think he felt that. I think he felt that it was successful with the forest practice activities that are occurring. Mm-hmm. They've got a pretty good idea of where these things are to a certain extent, right? And that those management plans aren't failing, that there's some success there. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the impetus of agreeing to expand the review period but not go to the full 5 years because of some of those cautions that you're bringing out. And I think with a lot of the voluntary plans we do with any of the wildlife species, your question is relevant, right? And we really do need to start asking more of some of the species experts about, is this voluntary approach really working, right? But that takes data on the critters themselves rather than just data on our management plans. Mm-hmm. Those are two different things, but I think in the future we need to tie those together.
Any other comments? Questions for Scott?
Thank you, Chris. Mark, let's get on with the field tour plan.
So, staff has put together some potential
mature agenda or issues that the board could look at. And historically, the board tours are in the fall, and they're on emerging issues that the board could face in the next calendar year. They help the board put together the next year's work plan. So we do have some issues, but before we go there, staff also has heard the report from the efficiency and effectiveness improvements for the adaptive management program, and would wonder if the board would want to substitute the tour dates in October for the AMP training 101 and perhaps a principal's meeting that is out there. If the board does want it, and I will say that that would help staff out with all of our other work. Because tours take a lot of work and a lot of energy, and this is slated for Southwest Washington. So I'll pause there, and if the board wants to hear tour topics, then I could share potential issues that the board could go out and view on the field.
So touring when on that schedule? In November?
October. It would be October.
And, oh, also
yeah, and board member Janicki just has suggested that the next milestone dates for meetings or principals meetings for the AMP improvement would be October, January, and June, I believe. So it would coincide with the October date.
I'd love to see us be able to focus in on this, the next step for the AMP process. Honestly, I think this, a Springfield trip was talked about in conjunction with some of the other work that would be ready by spring. And so anyway, I'd ask the board to hold that an October timeframe for the first meeting of the principal's class.
Board member Sweeney.
So I hear that, and I do understand your staff constraints. And I wonder if we could do a hybrid approach. So, you know, we have been hearing from small landowners and from Ken on a regular basis about going to these properties, which is not very far, and having a discussion of the template. Maybe we do that in the fall, and it's not a full-blown, all-day, multiple-stop field trip, but, you know, we take the half-day as recommended. We, you know, use it as an opportunity to talk about, you know, where the proposal is, can illustrate the proposal as it came in, or any changes on the ground. But, I mean, I think it is timely for us to consider that request, and it doesn't seem like it would take that much time and effort to plan and put together. And, you know, maybe we do it in November instead of October, but we still do it in the fall. So that would be one idea to consider.
So maybe do it a half day before the next board meeting in November.
Yeah. I like that.
I like that.
I was going to suggest the same thing. If you combine going to Ken's with maybe a half day of something else, perhaps the TFW 101 or the historical part of it, the principals plus the first meeting. You know, Ken would have to get involved with it, but it'd be appropriate at his place. That's where the ACP was signed there, so it'd be a good place to go through the history of something else.
Okay. You so we want to limit it to just small landowner issues, the template, and because I don't know how much time would, where are we going to be in the template process at that point, Mark?
The template process is we're now viewing it and addressing it from the perspective that in the board manual with the proposal initiation, there's a choice to take two tracks, the policy track and the science track. The review of the template is actually on both tracks. We're having short-term meetings to assure that the science track is being fully implemented. That is, that we do have a report. We're getting it ready to take it to ISPR, so we're getting the assuring that the questions are the right questions and that the material that's going to go for ISPR review is the right materials. And we've also scheduled a meeting to address the policy track questions regarding the template. The next meeting for that is scheduled for September 4th. We've scheduled it that way so that we hopefully will have a subcommittee recommendations to take forward to full policy and policy September 6th meeting. So by October, recommendations will have been brought forward to full policy from the subcommittee for the policy track. And the policy track, to be specific, is does the template as proposed meet the criteria of an alternate plan? Because templates are a form of an alternate plan. And there are some rule specific criteria that you have to meet in order to be considered a template. Those questions are going to be addressed by the subcommittee in September and then taken to full policy. So by October, we would be able to bring a fairly comprehensive update to the board as to where we are in the review of the proposed small forest landowner template on, for both the policy track as well as the science track.
So November is good timing, is that what you're saying?
November would be good timing, yes.
Okay. And then we can have a more full discussion about the other potential field tour projects for the
spring tour.
For the spring and have a full day and go do some of the other things besides PHB alternatives.
That's possible.
Yeah.
And the topics, would you like me to share what we are looking at, or
why don't you go ahead and just run through the topics that store staff have considered, and then ask board members to let you know if there are other things they'd like to for the spring tour.
Okay,
and that's what I'm hearing from board members.
So the new number one topic for the spring tour would be the PHBs. The goal is to find stream segments where you can see current rule as well as where each of the PHB alternatives would find the end of fish. So that the board would be able to walk on one stream and actually view all of these. In addition to that, and again, the tour the focus was going to be Southwest Washington. So these are issues that could come to the board soon and be found in Southwest Washington. So one is tethered logging. It's a new form of logging, which is interesting because we don't know if it would be considered cable or ground-based. As far as unstable slopes go, this is a big issue because it could destabilize slopes. And so we just need to, it would just be for a general sense of understanding. Another thing would be as I shared this morning, board manual section 23 is a two-part board manual. The first part that we're addressing now is the break between F and N. How do you determine that? The second part is that uppermost point of perennial flow, which is the break between tide NP waters and NS waters. So it'd be a tour to go out and look at the current dry season protocol on how the uppermost point of perennial flow is determined. It's kind of a revisiting of a board tour that we held in Northwest many years ago. It was either 05 or 06, I forget now.
06.
06, okay, thank you.
Yeah. Printed on his memory.
Yes. I just got into Washington, that was my induction. So.
Another emerging issue, and this is for the Department of Fish and Wildlife, is the marble murrelets. Southwest Washington has a lot of murrelet habitat. Can be a review of this part of the tour would kind of DFW would take the lead and would inform the board on the status of the Miralad and habitat issues. And then there's another part of the gorge also has a lot of northern spotted owl habitat, especially dispersal habitat. And the board, it was not discussed today, but it is something before the board and both the northern spotted owl implementation team as well as the potential for safe harbor agreement. So we could look at spotted owl habitat and discuss issues around that.
Maybe we'll actually have some progress on the safe harbor agreement by the spring.
Yeah, thanks for that arrow.
Sure.
Yes, ma'am. Noted. Okay. Please, if you have other ideas on things you'd like to see in the field, please contact staff with other ideas if you have any. And newer board members, I encourage you, and if you need help, and I'm specifically talking about Ben, but there's others that may not have been out in the woods lately. I'm going to make sure Ben gets out with one of our forest practice foresters this year so that he can see what we're talking about most of the time. Work plan, last item.
Okay.
We're going to have any changes?
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm going to hopefully not forget anything, but there was quite the work plan has changed quite a bit today. So what I'm going to do is bring up changes to be added to the remainder of the year for the 2018 work plan plus affirmation from board of some elements that we need to include for the 2019 work plan. Again, to just for the board, the November meeting is a meeting in which the board reviews and approves your 2019 work plan. It's also the meeting in which we set the meeting dates, including for the regular meetings and including any foreseen special meetings. So I'll bring forward some things that to confirm inclusion on our proposed 2019 work plan.
We won't have to vote on those, though.
We don't have to vote on those
changes for this year.
Right. It's just inform staff as we build the potential 2019 work plan. So let me read my notes, which are perhaps not as good as that. So the 2019 fish use stream protocol recommendations from developed by the tribes and DFW, those recommendations are now going to be brought forward to the board at your November 2018 meeting. As you go down the list under the adaptive management program, the small forest landowner Western Washington low impact template, recommend review process and timeline. We'll have an update at the November meeting. That's already there. But for the May meeting that we will put on that recommendations that will be brought forward to the board at the May 2019 meeting. Going down the list further, the field tour will now be November. It'll be the day before the November board meeting. It will be a visit to Ken Miller's house, and the first day will be dedicated to addressing the small forest landowner template. So there'll be a discussion about the template. And I heard it's a half day.
More than a half day.
No more than a half day. Okay. What we didn't have answered, and I just realized, is the October meeting for the Board Committee on Efficiency and Effectiveness Improvements. That's not on here at all. So are we to put a 1 or a 2 day meeting in October or a principals meeting?
I would suggest you put principals plus meeting on there for October, date yet to be identified, for up to 2 days.
Up to 2 days. Okay, and then for, I'm kind of going back and forth, but in on that same topic, a January and a June meeting, and I think I heard principals' meetings planned for January and June on the Anthem improvements.
That's right. It's principals plus. It's still the principals plus.
So it's
plus.
Still principals plus. Mm-hmm. Okay. And 1 or 2 day meetings. Just
put it for, put them for two. That I think that will be determined as we work through this agenda, and the board can have input on that.
Okay.
It's hard to socialize if you only have a 1 day meeting. Nobody goes home.
Okay.
Oh. You meet at the bar.
I'm just saying.
At the, a request came in this morning to request a report from the Federal Services as to how well the current water tightening system rule, the PHB alternatives are meeting the Forest Practices HCP commitments. I'm just bringing that forward. It was brought up this morning. A decision was not made. And that would be put on the work plan, but it would be an agenda topic at the board's November meeting.
Yeah, let's do an update on that at the November meeting.
Okay.
After we've talked to the services and figured out what they're comfortable. Okay. You know, make the request, figure out the right timing based on your analysis and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. And then the last thing I had was another discussion this morning about the board discussion and potential decisions regarding extensive monitoring. We don't want to forget to do that. So what I was hearing was that would be a discussion to be had at the board's May 2019 board meeting.
I missed that.
It was in the context of the budget, when we approved the budget,
that
they were going to, CMR and policy
right.
would come back.
We had asked policy and CMR to come back with clear criteria about extended monitoring, not extensive monitoring.
Extended, sorry. That's
a big
all
difference.
There's a huge difference, indeed. Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah.
I wrote it down. So those would be added. I kind of did a combination of 2018 and 19, but it's as I recorded. I am actually proud that I read my notes and got them mostly right.
Okay. Do I have a motion to move those changes to the work plan, please?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you, board members. Janicki and Gunther. Any discussion? As there's no discussion.
Do we know that Mr. Miller will be available?
Yes.
November 13th?
November 13th.
I don't care what it is, as long as I'm still alive.
We're coming.
He'll be in Hawaii. We'll all be at his
You do have enough time as a show.
That's right.
Okay.
All cross our fingers.
Thanks for asking that question, board member. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. And I just want to say thank you for your perseverance today. I know it wasn't happy on all accounts, and I appreciate the everybody working to move things forward. So with that, I'll just say adjourn.